Before we start Module 2, let's review what the course is about. It's really about two things. The first thing is looking at complex engineered systems and trying to understand the way we model them. And we can refer to them as behavioral models because we try to model behavior of systems, whatever those things are. So it could be the behavior of the electrons using circuit models, or the behavior of electromagnetic waves using Maxwell's equations. And we're going to look at these at different layers and try to understand, secondly, how the layers interact. So we're talking about models of interaction between layers. And of course, our point of all this is to try to understand how to determine performance. And of course, when we think about performance, we think about performance with respect to a variety of performance criteria or measures that couple. Okay, so fidelity is one. In other words, the quality of the information. Another is delay. And third, and very importantly for the sensor network application, is energy efficiency. So these particular measures are associated particularly with wireless sensor networks. But remember, we're trying to think about wireless sensor networks as an example or case study of complex engineered systems in general. Now, with respect to those two things that the course is about, let me just mention two other things. The first is we're trying to do something different than your other courses that you take in an electrical engineering program. And we're trying to understand not just a subdiscipline in its own particular narrow stack, if you will, but how they assemble together. So we want to look at modeling, analysis, and simulation, again, of complex engineered systems in an interdisciplinary way. And in doing so, we want to see beyond just, you can think of them as parts lists or tool sets of a specific area. And here I list two examples. One is networking using the TCP/IP stack, or the tools of microwave circuit design, just to take two examples. And we want to see how these things, these specific subdisciplines, fit into the overall structure of the design of wireless sensor networks. Here's what we're going to cover in Module 2. First, we're going to carry on from the discussion in Module 1 about the various aspects of wireless sensor networks. And we're going to look at networking aspects, first of all, and then we're going to step back quite a few steps and think of the wireless sensor network as a distributed instrument. And what we want to try to understand is, what are we really trying to do with this data? Then we will look at engineering of wireless sensor networks in general, first trying to distinguish them from other kinds of wireless networks. Then we'll talk about the brains of wireless sensor networks, which are embedded computing systems. And again, we'll do this within the context of our introduction to wireless sensor networks design. Then we'll conclude with trying to understand a little bit more how wireless sensor networks enable new kinds of applications, new kinds of technologies, if you will, for society. And then we'll talk about extending wireless sensor network engineering to what we can call the mesh-connected society that links together people and things, or the physical world. A little bit about the pros and cons and some of the challenges and pitfalls of doing that. Let's start with the concept of wireless sensor networks. Each one of these little yellow guys is a model of a wireless sensor network node, and these are placed in the environment according to the needs of an application. And in this course, we'll talk a lot about the application of environmental or ecosystems monitoring. And so we can imagine putting these sensors out somewhere in a forest or a field, or maybe even a synthetic environment such as the lagoon system for a sewage treatment plant. We'd like to monitor what's happening there, the light, the temperature, various things such as soil moisture, those kinds of things. So we'll place these sensor nodes out there, and we'll also place a gateway or network hub to collect all the information. Then, because it's a wireless sensor network, one of the things it does is self-organize into a complete network, a fully connected network, using multi-hop networking. So the data, for example, from this sensor node will be relayed through these nodes, finally, to the gateway or the hub of the network. And notice just one thing about this. You can think of this as a data gathering tree. So I don't necessarily need direct connectivity from every node to every other node. So for example, I don't necessarily need a link between these two nodes. And so this is what we call a data gathering tree. And it's different than a fully connected network. Then finally, once the information gets to this gateway or network hub, this is connected somehow to the world at large, the internet, for example, via some kind of link. And here we show a satellite link, but it could be a cell modem, or it could be a direct Ethernet connection to the internet, whatever works. But the idea is that when we think about wireless sensor networks, we can think of them as in some way the eyes and ears of the internet on the physical world. And if we think about putting sensor networks in all kinds of applications all over the world, then that sort of idea starts making sense. At the beginning of this module, I said something about how in this class, we would think a lot about wireless sensor network engineering in the context of design from the perspective of integrating the different subdisciplines of electrical engineering. Well, here's a list of those subdisciplines, and it may not be complete, but it's pretty close. And it covers almost everything that we think about in electrical engineering, with the exception of microelectronics design at the physical layer. In other words, actually designing the transistors that make up the gates. But if you look through this list and see the diversity or the breadth of subdisciplines that come to play in wireless sensor networks, it's very, very impressive. And I want to go back to something I mentioned in the first module about this, where one of the sort of overall objectives of this class is to try to give you the skills that you'll need in the medium and long term of your careers. And that is, if you go on to graduate school and are thinking about research, or if you're working in industry and you're looking at moving up to a higher level position, such as a senior engineer or into technical management, where you need to really be thinking about the kinds of problems that you come up against in engineering systems, where you have to pull together multiple subdisciplines in order to come up with a good, efficient, and by efficient it can mean cost-effective design. At the end of the previous module, Module 1, I talked a little bit about networks and how they were quite different from the classical point-to-point communication systems. I want to elaborate on that a little bit. First of all, we can say that what we're talking about here is a subdiscipline called communication and network engineering. And so the real focus here is on the word network. And as you have probably noticed, there are many, many networks out there. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the difference between wireless sensor networks and other kinds of networks you're familiar with. Probably the most important example of wireless networking these days that has the most impact on our society might be what's called the mobile telephony network. In modern society, mobile phones are pretty much ubiquitous these days, and they are a kind of network that we refer to as infrastructured. Now, infrastructured is just a big word for saying there are towers that our handheld devices communicate with, and our handheld devices are essentially slaves to the base stations that are located at the cell phone tower. So we have this notion of a base station. We also see base stations in the form of what are called access points in another ubiquitous communication system we see today, and those are Wi-Fi systems. So if you have wireless in your house or in your building, there's an access point. Those access points are essentially base stations that work with your device, whether it be your laptop or handheld, to set up the communication parameters. A different kind of network is what we call ad hoc networks. And wireless sensor networks are a form of ad hoc networks. And the key characteristic of these is that there isn't a base station, there isn't an access point, there isn't a tower to help set up the network, maintain it, and control it. And so ad hoc networks are a kind of self-organizing network. And another word that's under a lot of attention these days are what's called mesh networks or mesh networking. We're finding more and more references to this in the technical and popular literature. Mesh networks are really another way of saying ad hoc networks, but we can think of the network nodes as forming a mesh in space here. So we can have communication between all these nodes to get information anywhere we want to. And again, the key here is that these mesh networks don't have a boss or a centralized point of control to make it easy. So they have to be, again, self-organizing. So one of the things we want to think about is, yes, indeed, that network engineering and its various aspects plays a very important role in wireless sensor network engineering. When we think about networks, we have to go beyond the idea that I have a dedicated transmitter and a dedicated receiver just sitting and waiting for me to send the data. And the reason for that is we talked about already the notion of media access control, and it's not always possible for a transmitter to transmit when there's data ready to go. So within a network, we have the idea of something called latency. And latency is measured in seconds, and this is why we can say that somehow time matters. But the basic idea here is that if I have a sensor, for example, that records an important event, then it wants to send that through the network to the hub or gateway so that something or someone in the rest of the world knows about it. But again, because of delays such as due to media access control, you can think of this as the end-to-end or source to gateway or hub delay in transmission. Another measure that's important, that's a little bit harder to get a handle on, is something called throughput. And this has to do with what is the rate of the information that can be sent from one point to another. So it would be the rate, and we can think of that in bits per second, or kilobit, or megabits per second, whatever works out well. Rate of information transfer. And this again can be thought of as the possible rate of information transfer from one particular node to the gateway, or we can think of a network throughput in such a way that what is the amount of data or the rate of data that the network can successfully transport without having an enormous amount of buffering going on. So we can see that there are two critical points at which we think about time in a way that is somehow more general than we would if we just had a point-to-point communication link with one transmitter and one receiver. Now, the reason that time matters is that we're very concerned in many cases about issues related to coordination and control. I'm going to explain this by two examples. The first one is what we can think of as synchronized sensing. In a sensor network, suppose you're measuring something that changes rather slowly, and maybe a good example might be temperature. And this could be temperature in an outdoor environment, such as we're interested, or it could be a sensor located in every room of a museum, and the idea there would be to protect the artworks there by having a wireless sensor network that monitored this built environment of the museum. Now, in this museum, you might want to have a snapshot of all the temperatures at a particular time. And what this means is that you'd like to synchronize the sensing. So, for example, if you took a measurement every hour, you'd like all the sensors to take it every hour, plus or minus maybe a few seconds, but not more than that, to keep it accurate. The second thing we could think of as a coordinated response. And one can think of, for example, detection of a life-threatening event, such as a release of a toxic plume from a chemical plant or a nuclear power plant, and you have a sensor network. And the response is coordinated in the sense that the sensor nodes might have to collaborate or share information in order to do this correctly. So you can see that this might also extend also to actual control. And maybe the sensor network would actually have actuators. So, for example, in a greenhouse, they might be controlling the drip irrigation system or something like that. So in that case, obviously time matters because you can't just wait for the network to perform what it will. It must actually perform at a particular time, and the sprinklers, for example, must stop at a particular time.